Please turn with me to Psalm 23. This psalm has been a comfort to God's people for over 3,000 years. It was the psalm that we turned to Wednesday night, and it is good for us to turn there again this morning. Psalm 23. Let me pray for us before we hear God's word. Jesus, you came to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to give to those who mourn a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Would you be pleased to do that now? Bind us up with your word, for we are a broken people. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Psalm 23. Hear now these words of comfort in the midst of our trial and tribulation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've told this story once before, but I'll tell it again. I had a friend who was visiting in Africa, and he was observing many shepherds tending for their sheep, and they had all gathered their various flocks at a single watering hole. And he was curious as to how they were going to separate again. How were they going to go their various ways? And all that was needed was for the shepherds to spread out, go to different locations, and they called their sheep. And the sheep heard the voice of their shepherd, and they went to their shepherds. Now, where do we go? Because we feel acutely in this moment that we have lost our shepherd. And there's a temptation to scatter and maybe even to hide in the midst of this confusion. But this psalm is important for us because it teaches us that we have a good shepherd who stands over this church even now. His name is Jesus Christ, and he calls us right now, and we go to him. So let us examine just for a moment how he leads us in this dark valley that we have found ourselves in. First, think about who our shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, this psalm is full of covenant themes. The name Lord is the covenant name, Yahweh. In verse 6, we see goodness and mercy, and this pairing is a typical pairing in the Old Testament when it talks about God's covenant blessings. What's translated mercy here in verse 6 is the Hebrew word chesed. It's his covenant love. You've heard that before. This psalm is describing the covenant benefits, the benefits for God's people. And more than covenant themes, it has Exodus themes. It echoes Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, where they were confronted with armies and hunger and drought, yet the Lord continually fed him. He continually watered them. He kept them so that not even their sandals wore out. We see those themes. You could look at Nehemiah 9 or Deuteronomy 2 that talk about Israel and how they lacked nothing during the wilderness wanderings. And in verse 1, we see that I shall not want. It's the same word, it's just phrased differently. Israel lacked nothing, we shall not want. Or in Numbers 10, it talks about how God leads Israel to resting places. And in verse 2, we see still or resting waters. Now, why does it matter that this has covenant and Exodus themes? It matters because this covenant-keeping God, this Exodus-leading God, is our shepherd. And we are his people. And we can trust and know that we will have the same experience. The Lord is my shepherd. He is your covenant God. This is deeply personal. These are not generic truths. It's not good generic truths that the rain and the sun fall on the just and the unjust. These are promises for you, for the beloved covenant people of God. These are sworn by God's very own name. It will not fail. And it's not just that they won't fail, it's just they won't fail in the midst of the wilderness. We are in the wilderness. Scripture continually talks about how we're sojourners and strangers, how we're still looking for the hope of the promised land. And in the midst of that wilderness wandering, these promises are ours. They are mine. They are yours. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, all his benefits are mine. So as we trek through this wilderness before us, as we feel the dry and arid landscape, we must start, as David starts in this psalm, with Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We have all that is his. We truly shall not want for anything that we need. We might have other wants, but we have no unmet needs because of Christ. And let's look just for a minute then at the provision. How does he meet us in our needs? How does he come to us? There are four things listed in verses 2 and 3. The first is, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And the imagery here is lush meadows of grace in an arid climate where grass and food is sparse. And this concept of feeding in the Bible isn't unusual. It's paired with God's word. He feeds on his word. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how does God lead us in green pastures? And where are they? And where do we lie down? He speaks to you. He meets you in your every need in his life-giving and soul-refreshing word. The second thing is, he leads us by still waters, and that might be translated waters of rest or even waters for resting. It isn't so much that the waters are still, though they could be, but that it is a place where we rest. And again, this water imagery, it evokes the cleansing of the Spirit that washes over us and cleanses us from our iniquity. So it's not surprising that the third thing is, he restores my soul. This naturally follows if we have green pastures and waters for resting, as Christ leads us, as we are fed by his word, as we are cleansed by his Spirit, our soul is restored. As one pastor put it, Christ's benefits are sufficient to nourish our soul in every season of life. And finally, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the idea here isn't so much the right path, although that's not excluded. It's that he's leading us to walk in righteousness. Christ is leading us. Those who once walked in darkness are now those who are walking in light. But the question comes, how then, if Christ is leading us, how do we end up in the valley of the shadow of death? How do we end up where we are here this morning? And the answer is pretty simple. It's right here in the text. It's because our shepherd, in his wisdom, has led us there for our good and for his glory. And we see this in verses 5 and 4. I'm going to read those again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The shepherd has not lost track of his sheep. He has led them to this valley, and he will lead them through it. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We need to think about this valley. We can't skip over it. What is this valley of the shadow of death? It's right now. It's what we feel. It's that pit in our stomach. And in the valley, we ask, where is God? Because I can't see him because it's dark all around me. And we ask questions of, do all churches implode? Is this just fated to happen? Well, as the psalmist in Psalm 116 asks, are all men liars? Is everything I've heard a lie? The word that's been proclaimed? I have no light by which to understand it. I'm in the valley. But look again at verse 4. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Though the darkness is dark, though we cannot even see our shepherd, he is present. And it's God's presence that brings comfort even in these circumstances. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And if God is present, we have all that we need. We have green pastures. We have still waters here in the valley. Again, another theologian said, the sheep are led to walk through a valley. And in this valley, they both enjoy the sufficiency of the meadow and the safety of the righteous paths. They can say, I will fear no evil or no harm because the shepherd is with me. This comfort, this unchanging presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is ours in Christ. The presence of our shepherd, the presence of Christ, means that we feast even in the valley, even in the presence of our enemies, even when we're surrounded by what feel like waves and winds that would destroy us. The Lord sets a table before us and invites us to sit down and feast. He pours oil on us, representing the perfumed elegance of a celebration. Our cup overflows, not the cup of wrath. Jesus drank that cup to the dregs. Our cup overflows with the cup of blessing that we partake of even in the Lord's table. We have all of these things right now because of Christ. Now, we might object, it doesn't feel like a blessing right now. And admittedly, we don't know what blessings are going to come from this right now. It just hurts, and it's confusing. And we don't know why Christ has led us here. Why choose this valley? Why not another? But we know that he did lead us here. And though we may be afraid and confused, as we've talked about, we can have a sure confidence that Christ is with us. The light will overcome the darkness. Nothing, not even the gates of hell, will prevail against Christ's church. He is protecting us in the valley with his rod. He is guiding us through the valley with his staff. He's not just protecting and guiding, he is pursuing us. And we see that in verse 6. We see that goodness and mercy will follow us all our days. And this following is really more of an active pursuing. It's not a passive. It's not a being dragged along. It's a horse and rider galloping after, chasing after, except they're not in the distance. They're not losing ground. They're right up on you. Where you turn, where you go in this valley, Christ is right there with you, guiding you, holding you fast. The goodness of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the covenant love of Christ, the person of Christ is pursuing us always. He is not distant. And because of his pursuit, the psalmist says, we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And again, this dwelling is the result of, in the language that's being conveyed here, it's the result of a returning over and over. We're returning to the Lord's presence. Over and over, we're coming to the Lord and dwelling with him forever, right now. And it is all because of his covenant-keeping love. We continually return to the presence of the Lord. We continually feast upon his word. We are continually cleansed by his spirit, by resting waters. We are continually restored. Our soul is made whole. We are continually led in paths of righteousness. And in fact, even though we're in the valley, all those things are happening right now, this morning. Psalm 23, it's not just out there. It is certainly in here. It is certainly right now. It happens every Sunday when we come together. God calls us each week. He pursues after us. He gathers us together. He brings us into his presence, and he feeds us upon his word, and he restores our souls, and he sends us with a blessing. So, church, this morning we have lost a shepherd, and the pain is severe, and we will mourn with fear and with sorrow and with hope and with anger. But as I said in the call to worship, we will mourn as Christians going to the Lord. We will mourn going to the Good Shepherd, to Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Brenda, the Lord is your shepherd. Jennifer, the Lord is your shepherd. Danae, the Lord is your shepherd. Gabe and Megan, the Lord is your shepherd. Wellspring, the Lord is my shepherd. And so we trust in our good shepherd. In the midst of this valley, we have no fear. For Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is with us. Let me pray. Merciful Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be our good shepherd. Thank you that he gives us eternal life and that we will never perish and that no one is able to snatch us out of his hand. Thank you that he is the Lamb in the midst of the throne reigning on high, that he is our shepherd and he will guide us to springs of living water, and you, O God, will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please do that even now lead us into this valley, lead us in this valley, and lead us through this valley of the shadow of death. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Shepherd King. Amen.